What is going on, everybody? Welcome to today's news tonight, and happy Friday. After E3, it feels like I need this really badly. I'm your host for this episode, the 99th episode of TNT. End of an era, almost. I'm joined, as always, by my good friends and GVG co-founders, Ash Paulson in the upper left, Derek Bittner in the upper right. And you may be thinking, Steve, where's the guest? He's in the thumbnail. I'm glad to inform you that we are, in fact, joined by Shadowrock ZX, a Mega Man YouTuber who I bet you can guess who he knows on this panel of three.
No, certainly not me.
He is a good friend of not just Ash, but of GVG as well. And he is not on camera today, so he will be our substitute voice of God. Shadowrock, how's it going, man?
Hello, I come for you from the shadows because I'm not on camera.
If Raiden wasn't God, I always figured it was a Mega Man. It's like, it figures.
Yeah.
Yep. Shadow, I've wanted so badly. Like, I've been wanting to have you on forever, and I kept waiting for the right time with some big Mega Man news. But that news still hasn't come, and I'm like, you know what? Mm. We got Castlevania today. We got Metroid today. And those two are the next best things to Mega Man news. So I figured, you know what? Let's get you on the show already, man.
Thank you. Similarly, I wanted to be on for a Mega Man segment, but I was... didn't want to impose or anything like that.
Oh, no, man. I've been wanting to have you for a while, so we're glad to have you here now, man.
Yeah, it is. It is never an imposition. You're always welcome on the show. Unfortunately, Capcom let E3 come and go without any mention of the Blue Bomber whatsoever. I mean, the most E3 coverage Mega Man got was wearing the helmet.
Exactly. Ash brought it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I did warn people not to get their expectations set too high. You know, Capcom did say from the beginning, here's what we're showing. It's all games you know about. So I
exactly.
That's okay.
Yeah, 100%. 100% knew they weren't going to announce anything. They said straight up, you know, we're going to do Monster Hunter. We're going to do Resident Evil and Ace Attorney, which I'm glad they gave Ace Attorney some love. I love the Ace Attorney series. But I did not expect anything beyond that, and yeah, that's exactly what we got. I can't even be mad about it.
I mean, right. I was kind of hoping for the one more thing, kind of like what we got with Square Enix, but...
Same.
Yeah. Whenever I think about Mega Man news not being announced, for me, it's like, I always think about that scene with Angela in Silent Hill 2, everything on fire around her, and her saying, for me, it's always like this. And I think any Mega Man fan knows. It's always like that.
I mean, I think there's a few fandoms that know that feeling quite well.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
For sure. I feel like the smart move for Capcom, since we are, you know, with the two biggest Mega Man fans I know, I think the smart move for Capcom would have been to just skip E3. I really think that, you know, they did do the right thing, and they set expectations correctly. They let people know, here's exactly what we got. You're not getting anything else, so tune in or don't. And everybody, of course, tuned in just thinking like, well, maybe they're lying. It is E3.
Yeah.
I will be the first to admit, while putting on a brave face for our audience, I was thinking, come on, just something. Throw us a bone here, Capcom.
I do like that Ace Attorney fans got a little fed.
Yes.
Oh, my God. They spoiled case 2 of Great Ace Attorney. I was like, why?
I've made it a point to barely pay attention to that, and I honestly forgot a lot already, so thank God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My head's been kind of full of Zelda for the last few days, so that's helped a lot with that whole spoiler thing. But they did warn you. They did warn people.
Right. And yeah, and I was going to say, like, as disappointing as that was with Capcom's showcase, you know what they didn't do? They didn't announce legacy remasters of one of their biggest franchises only for mobile and Steam. They didn't do that. So for me, Square Enix still ranks lower.
We're bringing you the Battle Network games on mobile. Yeah. On mobile
and Steam, right? Same exact concept.
You know, though, I mean, there was one misstep more egregious than releasing remakes of highly acclaimed games on two platforms nobody wants them on, and that's releasing a demo that just doesn't work. So
that
speaking of which,
also,
let's go ahead and talk about that demo. And as y'all know, I'm talking about Chaos. Final Fantasy Origin was so damn chaotic that you couldn't even play it for the first day after the demo released. But Square Enix is trying to make amends They announced today that they've extended the trial period for the Final Fantasy Origin Stranger of Paradise demo until June 26th. June 26th to defeat Chaos, and July 2nd to send in feedback. So, have any of you played the demo yet?
I have not had the chance. What'd you think?
I really liked the combat system. It's very fast-paced. I liked how you counter to increase your MP, and you have like all these different attacks to do. I almost could say it might have been too fast-paced for me, because I could not beat the boss at the end, and that was on normal mode. It was just a lot for me to take in at once. Yeah.
Okay.
It gets hard.
I played a bit of the demo. I played the tutorial, and I played into like the actual first combat area a bit. I don't know how long the demo goes. But man, did I came away deeply unimpressed. I think the combat is fine. It's nothing special. It doesn't feel particularly satisfying or I mean, it feels button mashy is what it feels like when you're facing low level normal enemies. It feels like you can just whack R1 a bunch and then hit circle and you've killed a guy. But visually, for a PlayStation 5 exclusive demo, this game's ugly. I mean, it is.
Yeah,
it is nothing to write home
about. It's pretty dull.
Yeah,
that's kind of the impression I got when I saw it during Square Enix's presentation. Like, nothing I saw of this game during that presentation got me excited.
Yeah.
And I was hoping maybe I'd feel differently about the demo, but it sounds like I won't. I'm still going to check it out. I'm not going to ignore it.
Yeah, I absolutely recommend everyone try it.
I wanted to stream it, but it was broken, and then by the time I was free, you know, it was available, I had other crap to do. There's a lot of other stuff to get done.
I definitely recommend it. I think it's worth talking about. The thing I noticed, though, right away, you know, and it's particularly egregious coming off of the last PS5 game I played being Ratchet and Clank, but I played this and I was just like, wow, like this, you know, the visuals look decidedly last gen, in my opinion. It looks like maybe the issue why it didn't work is that they uploaded the PlayStation 4 version of the demo or something, and then they're just like, crap, we have to reconvert it to a PS5 binary, because it looks like it was not designed for PS5 at all.
It is weird, it is PS5 exclusive.
Because it takes zero advantage of the system. No haptics, nothing interesting going on with the DualSense.
That is true.
Visuals are muted and dull and very PS4-ish in appearance. I would say, and the one thing I would say, the most egregious thing that I noticed about this demo is that it uses like that mid-aughts muted color palette that so many games were famous for having. It's dreary, and I get that that's an artistic. Yeah, it's got the piss filter. It feels like it's definitely an artistic choice, but I don't think it's the right one.
I mean, looking at this key art they have with all the red all around, what is the name, Jack? Like, this reminds me a lot of DMC Dante.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that vibe too.
I will say, I will give one positive to the game. You get out of that Abercrombie-looking outfit real quick. Like, within moments. Mm. You can you get something that completely changes the main character's visual appearance to be more in line with the world he's in within, like, the first 30 seconds. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, don't know why you did all the key art with this outfit then, but more power to me, I guess.
Yeah.
Just to show
it's
that
funny, like, oh, go ahead, Derek.
I was just going to say, it sounds like it's based off Final Fantasy 1, but it's not connected to Final Fantasy 1. I think I saw something recently come out about that, which is why then? It's cool that you get to fight Garland.
He looks cool. It's awesome.
I hear it's a challenging fight, but again, I haven't.
Oh, heck yeah, it is.
But the fact that he doesn't say anything about knocking any of them down is such a missed opportunity, man. Come on. It's what he does. He knocks you all down. You know, and it's funny. People talk about how, like, you know, sometimes they want to see Square Enix rein it in with their character designs and their aesthetics, right? Like, especially Nomura's designs. But then you get these characters, and I'm like, no, I kind of would rather Square keep doing what they do best and going hyper anime, wild hairstyles, you know, because it's just something they're really specifically good at. And then when you get characters like this, I'm just like,
no
appeal to me.
I gotta say, and I don't want to go too far into, I mean, this isn't really a spoiler, but having played Intergrade again, or, you know, having played Intergrade over the weekend and spent some time with that as well as Intermission. And I think I know, Ash, you'll know where I'm going because I know you finished Intermission.
Yes.
But some of the wilder anime ass haircuts that you can see in these games definitely start to look a little weird when you lean closer to the photorealism end of things visually.
Sure.
Like some of the characters I saw and I was just reminded of them, like Cloud, you're like, okay, you know, kind of iconic weird yellow Goku-ish hair, but you start to get more into the wilder characters in Final Fantasy VII and you're like, maybe you should have left that on the PSP, or maybe you should have left that back on the PS1.
Right.
Maybe a redesign would have
been
okay.
I'm
going
to guess
here.
Vice is your the target.
Yeah,
here.
I assume you're talking about Vice and Nero.
Yeah. Vice and Nero, yeah. I was like, I didn't miss you guys.
Uh-huh. I have not had a chance to play at all, so we'll see. Maybe I'll take this weekend before I jump into the Metroid stuff.
It is definitely worth it. I feel like we are going to have one of the best discussions we've ever had on GVG about Intermission.
Oh boy,
I'm excited.
God, I still need to play that.
It is mind-blowing in terms of just from a lore perspective. It will blow your shit out completely, I promise.
Is it easy to access that Vice and that new content within the main game itself?
Yes. So
it is. You have to finish it first, though.
You beat Intermission. Which
I have a save file.
It's a VR mission, right?
Yeah, it's a VR mission. You have to finish Intermission.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But Intermission is 3 hours.
It's pretty short.
Yeah, it is very short. So you can power through Intermission in one sitting, and then you have the Vice content unlocked after that.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. It is definitely interesting. But without going into spoiler territory whatsoever, there's hours of discussion to be had about Intermission.
Especially the very end. And some
we
of the
will
stuff
probably
you
talk
see.
About Intermission Woo! Longer than it takes to beat Intermission.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's well, we'll so see. Much. So much.
How long there. Is it?
It's like 3 hours.
Yeah, if you're crit mapping, it's like 3 hours. I spent closer to 5.5 hours to 6 because I was trying to do everything.
That's going to be me.
And I still didn't do everything. Mm. Like, basically, if you do everything, I'd say it's even a little longer than that, depending on how good you are at Fort Condor. But I took my time, explored, and I got about 5.5, 6 hours out of it. But if you crit path it, I think it is like 3 hours.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, definitely. Anyway, we could talk about that all day. I don't have a segue for this next one because I honestly don't know anything about this game. But hey, it's coming to Switch and that's exciting. And that game is Pokemon Unite, the MOBA that I forgot existed until today.
I completely forgot about it.
I love MOBA.
I knew it existed, but did not expect it coming to the Switch. That's new.
That is encouraging to me. The idea that Pokemon Unite is coming to the Switch before mobile, gives me hopes that the game is not your typical mobile fare is what I guess I could say about it. I have zero hype for this though. And I love Pokemon.
I mean, I'm not a MOBA fan. I think that's the biggest issue is, I'm watching the trailer they put out there now. Because I haven't seen it yet. I've just been, again, busy. But this is just not my genre.
It's so not my genre.
I agree. Yeah. Kind of going for
is
like
that a Pelipper holding a Pikachu in its beak, though? That I'm into, if that's what that was. That was pretty funny.
But I mean, I don't know. I've watched high-level MOBA play, and it just does nothing for me. I'm like, I don't understand this. This doesn't work for me. I would love to see...
Yeah. I'm right there with you.
You know, a community spring up around this, and I might be more interested in watching other people play a Pokemon MOBA because then at least I care about the characters in it. But like, I watch Dota and other games like that, and I'm like, I don't even understand what's so high level about this. I just get that people are playing the game real good, and there's a lot of money on the line. Neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my best friends will probably be super into this because he's super into League. He's super into Dota. He just loves MOBAs. I could not care less. And he's asked me, he's like, dude, like, because we'll play Smash together. And he likes Smash too. But he's like, okay, we play Smash. Now you got to check this out. And like, I'll show you some high level play. And I just, my eyes glaze over. I'm not saying that high level MOBA players aren't talented. I know they are. It's just, for me, I don't know what to focus on. I find it boring to watch personally. It's just not my thing.
I think being able to appreciate high level play comes, you have to have at least a baseline understanding of the underlying genre. Like, exactly. I can watch fighting game high level play, even in a fighting game that I don't play, and be like, okay, right. I get how that is hard to do. I can watch Smash. You know, I suck at Smash, but I can watch people play Smash at a very high level and at least understand the concepts of what they're applying.
Yeah.
But because MOBAs just don't work for me, I watch them and I'm like, they're clicking the mouse. Things are happening. I have no clue how this is hard.
Yeah,
you know, that is, but I also fully understand that if I tried to hop in and play with them, I would get smoked in a heartbeat.
Right.
Yeah, there's a skill aspect
there. I mean, that's the other sort of part of with League of Legends is that you try to get into it and it's like, no, they're already experts, and it's like you're just going to get yelled at for not knowing what you're doing.
Oh yeah. It's like the Overwatch problem we discussed a few episodes back.
Right.
Yeah. That's how I am of competitive games. Like, I'm not a very competitive player a lot of the time, so it does get discouraging when you hop in and everybody's way better than you. I like to play with people on my skill level or more often than not.
Yeah.
Same. I mean, it's never fun playing with someone who's way better than you in anything.
Yeah. I find as I've gotten older, though, I've much more leaned into co-op experiences than competitive games. Like, I much rather, like, I get a way better feeling off of just playing games with my friends and we're all working together than trying to beat the shit out of people. Like, it doesn't. Like, when I was younger, in my teens, my 20s, I definitely was a super competitive gamer. Like, I would go to arcades, because I'm that old, and I would play against people. We'd do money matches, stuff like that. I definitely understand that feeling, but it's just something that, as I've aged, has kind of left me a bit. I no longer get that thrill out of competing and being better than someone at something. Instead, I just enjoy, like, you know, having a good time, like chilling out with my friends and playing mellower games. Like, I played No Man's Sky for like 4 hours last night with my friends, and we were just running around getting rocks.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah,
it was fun.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, that's why I enjoyed enjoy playing Fall Guys with a couple of my friends every week. It's just we work together, have fun. We don't try to. We're not the grabby people who try to grab people and like, make them and push them off the edge. We don't do that. We just try to help each other and have a good time. And I totally hear you. Like, I used to be more competitive as well, I think. And the only game I still enjoy competing in is Smash. But that's not as though I go to tournaments and compete at the highest level. I just like competing with my friends and talking shit, specifically in Smash, because I enjoy playing it. But beyond that, I'm just kind of over competition, I guess. You know, it's just, I just...
See, that's never been my thing, is competition. It's just because I find myself getting my butt kicked, and I notice I stop having fun. So I'm like, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, if you're incessantly losing, it just gets irritating after a while. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
I just want to put my own input in there. That's why I like games like Splatoon, because even though it's still competitive, you're working with three other people, and it's a really big team effort to win.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I've also liked... I don't mean to bring Mega Man to everything, but Rockman X
is
probably the best thing that came out of that mobile game that came out recently, Rockman X Dive, is it has a co-op mode where you can play with your friends, and that's actually like a first for the Mega Man series. I really enjoyed that mode.
Bring it to Steam, Capcom. We know the Steam files. Yeah.
See, that just makes me think of when we played 30XX together, Ash, and I really want to do that again.
Oh, that's so much fun.
Yeah, I played the X character. You played the Zero character, and it was a lot of fun, Derek.
Yeah, that was cool. It's like, when's that coming out? Because I would totally do a co-review with you on that.
Me too. That would be so much fun. I don't know if they've really talked about the release date since then.
Yeah, it's probably a ways off.
It's like on an open beta right now.
Yeah, it's
an
early access right now, and on Steam. Yeah. I have it in my library.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Same. And I downloaded it in February.
It says PS4, Switch, and Xbox One are still upcoming.
Okay.
Yeah, there's
that's probably the more finished version.
Recently released, like a few weeks ago.
Right. It does say TBA 2021 for the consoles, so maybe still this year.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
Nice.
Anyway, before we move on to our next story, and I'm really excited about this next story, but anyway, we have several super chats and donations. V2 Omega with a $10 donation. No comment, just a donation. Thank you so much. We definitely appreciate that. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Captain Jay Linebeck, a frequent super chatter with a $5 super chat, says, in regards to Final Fantasy Origin, considering it's by Koei Tecmo / Team Ninja, I'm not that surprised by the graphical quality, like how FE3 houses looked. I mean, when I think of the look of
yeah, Three Houses.
I was going to say, like, Three Houses to me didn't exhibit much by way of visual issues. Like, I know, you know, it was a cel-shaded game. Yeah, to me, the issues with Fire Emblem Three Houses were more performance related. Like, when you were running around, there were stutters here and there in places, but nothing too bad. I actually thought Fire Emblem Three Houses was one of the prettier games that came out that year. It won my game of the year for that year. So I don't know. I wouldn't write Koei Tecmo and Team Ninja off. I just think that it's very clear that Final Fantasy Origin needs more work, quite a bit.
Right.
Yeah.
And but I'm not at all, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it got there by the time it releases. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Me? No, I'm good. I just said I hope so.
Sorry. Yeah, me too.
I'll just say I'm not a fan of the trend that's been going on for the last decade of all these like, gritty, dark-looking games where you got to turn up the brightness a bunch just to see what the where the heck you're going.
Yep. Agreed with that. I greatly dislike having to crank my TV's brightness just to see. Like, and every game these days has you calibrate brightness before you start. And it's still never
right. Yeah, it's true.
They're like, do it till you can barely see this image, and you won't be able to see your character.
Yeah, I was going to say, I always calibrate it to the brightness to my recording setup. So I'm like, all right, let's see. Because it's always it always feels different from my TV to that. So it's like, okay.
That's true, too.
Right.
Moving on, Grantles with a $5 super chat says, hey, all, currently playing Banjo. Wow, I just realized, like, saying hey, all, in that upbeat tone, I was like, oh, Scott's here. Anyway, hey, all, currently playing Banjo-Tooie, and I'm currently on the worst world, Grunty Industries. Also, tomorrow's my 20th birthday. Well,
happy birthday.
Well, happy birthday. Nice.
You're a great supporter of the channel. It's always a pleasure to read your super chats, and I hope you have an awesome birthday tomorrow.
Nice to have it following a Saturday too.
Yeah. Enjoy hopefully, that day off, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully you've got the day off. School's out for summer in every place that I know of, so if you're in school, hopefully you're out. But you know, if you're working, hopefully you've got the day off and you can relax and have a good time and hopefully get past Grunty Industries. I'm not a Banjo-Tooie person, so I don't know. I'm not familiar.
It's about midway through, but it's just a little rough level. Yeah, it's very similar looking, so it gets easy to get sort of
gotcha.
Yeah.
Moving forward, Alan Wilkinson with a £2 donation says, so Digimon Unite win? Look, I will be the first to admit Pokemon Unite's not grabbing me. I would ricochet off of Digimon Unite like a bullet.
Yeah.
You know, where is Digimon Survive? What happened to it?
Yeah.
You always hear about development hell, so I guess eventually, but I don't know.
Yeah. I also want to call out our good friend and frequent boundary breaker, she says, is in the chat saying co-op all the way, the satisfaction of helping each other. Couldn't agree more, my friend.
Hell yeah.
I'm on this kick of buying other creators' shirts. So hopefully, I should have a few coming in the next few days. So maybe one of these days you'll see me on TNT with a boundary break shirt on. Hopefully.
That'd be cool.
I have one coming like Tuesday from Matt McMuscles, which is pervy to say the least. Anyway, Jason Cotter with a £4.99 donation says, big fan, I'm enjoying Biomutant despite poor reviews. Do you trust reviews or just play and decide yourself, as I've learned to judge myself? That's an interesting question, and I think it's weirder for us because the three of us most often are playing games that we're reviewing, so we can't look at a review.
Yeah, when it comes to other games, best I can say is I generally pay attention to word of mouth. I don't necessarily look at any one reviewer. It's just this word of mouth that comes up, or friends that I, you know, who happen to also be critics that happen to like a game might get me interested in something. The other key thing is for just in general that I got into before I started doing this, find somebody who you find matches your opinion.
Yep. That's what I was going to say.
You are not in this stuff. 100%. That's your best bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am an avid consumer of content as well as a creator of content. And so I have found over the years that there are reviewers that line up with my ideals when it comes to game design and stuff like that. And I tend to look to those folks that their ideas and their opinions kind of match my own. And if they like a game, then I definitely weigh that more in that game's favor
exactly.
than someone who I don't often agree with. But yeah. like Derek said, I think word of mouth is really important too, and definitely influences my purchase decisions. Like if I see just on the timeline on Twitter, tons of people talking about how great a game is, even if it's something I might not be interested in, I'm like, maybe I should check that out. I mean, a lot of different people seem to really enjoy this. Similarly, yeah. though, if I see a bunch of people just telling me a game sucks, I might look at that more critically before picking it up. Like, hey, you know, nobody seems to like this.
I think it also helps too that at least in my case, I don't have a whole lot of time, unfortunately, to
sure.
break out of what I would already normally play and try new games that I would have to rely on word of mouth for. So as much as I would like to be able to do that, I don't really have time to most of the time. So I'm usually playing this. I usually have what I want to play planned out months in advance, right? Because I'm immersed in gaming coverage. I know what's coming. I know what I want to play. I know what I don't really care about as much. I wish I had more time to branch out. And when I do weigh the opinions of critics I know share my tastes more heavily than I do others. But most of the time, I kind of already know what I'm going to play before I play it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went for you there, Ash. I've always been like, for me, it depends. If it's a game I know for sure I'm going to play, I'm going to pick up, I'll play it myself before deciding whether, you know, what my expert opinion on the game is.
Right.
But if it's something that I wouldn't have picked up otherwise, and I hear, like, from a review, oh, hey, this game is pretty dang awesome, well, I might consider that down the road. It really right. depends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for the super chat. It created some insightful discussion here. Moving forward, I want to get through these because I saw one that broke my heart, and I want to read it as soon as possible. But V2 Omega says, good evening, with a $10 super chat. Thank you, by the way. Says, good evening, gentlemen. Appreciate y'all's hard work throughout the years. Also, I love all of the Mega Man news that you create, Shadow Rock. Aww. Hey, we got a Shadow Rock
in the
chat.
That's awesome. Nice. Thank you very much. Actually, I just wanted to give a shout out to all the Shadow Rock fans in the chat right now. I see many familiar faces and some awesome. Of my coworkers nice. Here, Roger, Sapphire.
Awesome. And yes. everyone here should be a Shadow Rock ZX fan.
Yeah, I'm just absolutely.
Yeah. I saw MegaQuint earlier. MegaQuint's my editor on the channel. Appreciate his work. Hey, there he is. Yeah.
Nice. Awesome.
I'm really happy you guys are here. Thanks a lot.
All right. Before I read this next super chat, I really want to ask the GV gang to send all their good vibes, energy, and love to this person. Waffle King has been a supporter since day one, has consistently been an EP throughout everything, and has helped us out a ton. With a $4.99 super chat, Waffle King says, hi, everyone. I've got COVID. Can't taste too well, but I'm staying positive. GV gang are good people. Let me be the first to say we love you, man.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, we do.
I hope you get through this quickly and that you feel better real soon. Mm-hmm. And we will be here Absolutely. For you every step of the way. That awful to hear. Awful to hear. Yeah. But I wish you a speedy recovery. You are one of our day one supporters and a friend of yes. the channel and a great community member. So all the best to you, my friend.
Thank you.
Get better
thank
soon.
You for letting us know yeah. what's going on with you too, because we hadn't I was thinking that we hadn't heard from you in a while, so I was hoping that you were okay, and of course you're not okay, but we appreciate hearing from you anyway and knowing that you're hanging in there, and you know, we just hope you recover as soon as possible. Absolutely. Yeah, we love you, man, and just get better and hang in there.
Yeah,
rest up,
yeah.
do what you can,
take care, man.
Yeah
I
hope things get better for you.
Absolutely. We love you, Waffle King, so feel better soon, man.
Yes.
Marking an extremely stark shift in tone, Bongo Lover with a Canadian $5 super chat says, Dark Soul-themed Danimals game, that is all.
I play that.
I need Bongo Lover and the fan who created the Bongo GVG art to like come together and illustrate some of these ideas.
I was waiting for this because I had a feeling would happen. So I wanted to, I was saving this. I was at the grocery store today and.
Uh-oh.
Not the grocery
yes.
store.
Oh my God.
So we're going to try out this Danimal Smoothie Strawberry. It's the cheapest one they had there.
Oh,
so.
Man.
Derek has the pinky extended.
Yeah, I love it.
Got to be fancy about this. It's Bongo. You got to be fancy. It does have the Sonic promotion on it, so. not sponsored by Danimals, so there you go.
Hashtag not an ad.
The hell?
Drum roll.
Well, definitely not sponsored.
I mean, it tastes like yogurt, but it tastes like liquefied yogurt. Like, there's no consistency. Like, it's all just fluid.
Oh, that's gross. That doesn't sound like any kind of yogurt.
I mean, it's supposed to be a smoothie, but...
It's a little too smoothie.
Yeah, a little too.
All right, well...
All right. Well, we've got a bunch of news to cover, so I'm going to get through these last couple Super Chats. Derek, thanks for taking one for the team. I'm sure Bongo Lover deeply appreciates your commitment to this bit.
Yeah. But, does he play DK Bongos, though?
Does he? That's a good question. All right. Black Ninja with a $2 Super Chat says, the question is it hey y'all or hey all? I'm convinced that our good friend Scott says hey all, but when I was first like becoming a fan of his channel, I was convinced it was hey y'all. But I've learned that it is hey all. Honestly, don't ask me where I learned that.
Where you're from too. I mean, if you're from the South, it probably is hey y'all for a lot of people. But
howdy y'all.
Colloquially, like I just use it because it's fun to say casually. I'm not from the South. I don't know. Hey y'all, it just sounds funny. But I do think it is hey all. Otherwise, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, I'm actually am from the South. So there you go.
there you go. Yeah.
So for our esteemed guest, it is hey y'all. All right.
Yeah.
Megu Minton with a €2 donation says, why does Square Enix always release poor demos? Do they?
Well, Trials of Mana wasn't great, but Trials of Mana also wasn't great to begin with, but...
Wait, what? I like Trials of Mana was great. I liked it. The remake, you mean?
Yeah.
No, it was great, man. I mean, I thought so anyway. Yeah.
Amy try it today, and it was that did not go well for her. Voice acting and everything is just
bummer.
Not,
I really liked it.
I will agree with our YouTube chat. Dragon Quest XI's demo kicked ass.
Dragon Quest XI's demo was like one of the best demos ever.
Octopath Traveler had a great demo, from what I recall.
Although Project that was a meaty demo. A terrible demo.
I've not tried that.
Right.
It is dry. It is really dry. Oh, so yeah. I would say 50-50. Yeah. I would say they have a mixed record with demos, but I don't think it's always bad, but I also don't think it's always good. Anyway, thank you so much for the super chat. It's incredibly generous. Finally, so we can get back to the news, Rob Armanx with a $5 donation with a truly stomach-turning idea. GVG in a Danimal bath win. Look, I'm not going to do the foolish thing and utter a number. I'm just going to tell you that sounds gross. Also, like, it may lead to an infection. Anyway, with that said...
At least one.
Yeah, at least one infection. Mm-hmm. This next story, which I'm going to throw up on screen now, really excited me because I was this sure that it wasn't coming. And that is that the Xbox Controller Design Lab is back, baby. And I know I'm probably the only one that cares about this story, but... I called this in our pre-E3 predictions for Xbox. I was saying, you know what? It's summer. It's about the time they said it would come back. I just got the timing wrong. Instead of doing it at their proper E3 presser, they did it at that weird, like, post show that they did. And we know a thing or two about post shows here at GVG. They didn't show a single cursed video. Nobody talked about any spicy shit, but I guess they did throw some shade on a fellow content creator, which, all right, that's post-show material. I'll give you that, Microsoft. But I'm really just excited about this because I love making this tacky controllers that no one would market. And now I can make a Series X one. And I will say they're cheaper by like $20 than they used to be.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's
somehow
nice.
It's
that's
just a $10 nice. Premium on top of the regular controller price.
Always good.
It used to be $30 more than a regular pad. So I will be making a few tacky controllers, and I'll probably show them off here on the channel, because if I'm going to spend $70, I guess I may as well unbox the shit.
Right. Let your kids design some.
They're honestly really cool, though. Like, I love what you can make. And I thought that about the previous iteration of the Xbox Design Lab controllers, too. And I love this. I think it's really neat that they even offer it.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Man.
I wanted to do a Shadowrock theme controller, like purple, red, black. It looks so good, but God, it's expensive.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I don't know,
they're definitely expensive controllers, but I mean, if the controller is already 60, an extra 10 just to get it exactly how you want it to look, to me, that's a minimal surcharge to pay.
True. Yeah, I might do it one day.
Yeah, I'll be doing it soon. Probably today I'll order it, but they're like a month backlogged, so we won't get it till the end of July.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so...
You need
so
to talk to Evernight and have him design a GVG-based one.
I was thinking about that, like maybe like navy blue and orange or something, or something to that effect.
I don't have the color association to pull that thing off, so it's like, leave it to somebody else.
Yeah, so if you hear me, Evernight, if you want to go to that lab and show us what a GVG controller looks like, I'll definitely be interested.
Old of you to assume I haven't already been thinking about one.
Ooh. Hey, did we lose?
Sorry, everybody.
Oh, okay. I was like, I'm
Discord
suddenly
just,
a
like,
monster.
Yeah, no, Discord just crashed on me randomly out of nowhere, but I am back. So,
all right.
Welcome back.
You just need to get on camera.
Yeah, because right now I'm taking up half of your space and my mouth is like split between two windows. Derek's got half a head.
I didn't need it anyway.
The Lovecraftian nightmare is over. Anyway. So yeah, not a lot to talk about here. I think it's cool that they brought it back. I was very hopeful that they would, and I technically was right that they did it at E3, kinda, sorta. but for every objectively good thing that happens in gaming, one crappy thing has to happen. That's just how we keep things balanced
here. Real quick before that, just to balance, because we got the animals, and now we got Loyal Dingo with a $5 donation just saying Baja Blast. So there's a combination for you.
Isn't that only available
at That drink is
Taco
amazing.
Yeah, it is.
That's my wife's favorite drink. That's why I know
really?
That. I do not
I have
like
not been to Taco Bell in a while, so.
Although, I will tell you, I will be bringing a drink review to GVG, because there is a vibe flavor of Mountain Dew, and I feel like we have to review something that tastes like vibes. I don't know what that even means.
Oh boy.
I will find it and I will drink it. You can only get it at a sandwich shop here in Arizona. I have no idea how they have an exclusive flavor of Mountain Dew at a sandwich shop that, as far as I know, only exists here in Arizona, but it's yellow, which means it could be pee. But I'll drink it for you guys. Anyway, Black Ninja with a $2 super chat says, Danimals themed custom Xbox controller, please. I feel like we're going to have to get a partnership with D-Brand to make that happen.
I mean, I didn't have the best first impression of their stuff, so it might be in trouble. But
yeah, exactly. They're like, you drank it and you grimaced. Of course we'll sponsor you. Anyway, all right. So talking about that sucky thing that happened, let me get that up on screen here. And that is that Facebook is going to start just inserting ads into Oculus games. So it's not enough that you buy the headset for a few hundred bucks.
Right.
You have to have a Facebook account. Damn it, man. They are literally beaming ads directly into your retinas now. They're going to... I don't know all of how this works, but their excuse is that it is to create a self-sustaining ecosystem, which... It's a little weird because the Oculus has been around for half a decade. I feel like if you weren't able to sustain yourself, you might have folded before 5 years went by.
If I had dropped the money on one of these things and then mid, ownership started having these ads beamed to me, I'd be pissed.
Right?
I would be pissed.
It was hard to get those things. I worked at Target over the holidays, and we would get maybe like one a week, and it gets snapped up immediately. I know it was hard to get for a while.
Yeah, it's definitely concerning to see this. It's like you pay. We covered this on a previous episode. I think it was when who was our guest? Not the Golden Bolt. Maybe it was Clement. We were talking about Facebook giving you the option to opt out of needing a Facebook account to use your Oculus, but somehow the price of the headset went up over $1,000 if you chose that. and they said the monetization model was that, they collect your data or something, and that's how they can afford to make it $300.
Oh, yeah, because these are personalized ads as well. And,
So
I mean, they're even trying to coax developers into doing it because, hey, you'll earn a portion of the revenue.
Yeah, this is just objectively terrible. It Facebook is doing everything they can to make VR sound awful. I do not want personalized targeted ads in games that I bought. You have to buy Oculus games. They're not free.
Exactly. And the headset sure isn't free.
That is, I mean, a head scratcher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I could swallow it if it was headset is stupid cheap, like $100, yeah, and all the games are free. And you know, it's ad supported that way. I could at least understand it. I could wrap my head around it. But when you're talking about spending $300 for the headset and then, you know, $20, $30, $40 each game, how do you need ads to support this? I don't know.
Like, there are some really weird things in this article, by the way, the more I read it. So there is an option to click on the ad and save the link for later, because that's what you always do with ads. It's like, oh, I'm interested in this, but I'm playing right now. Facebook, so this test is for flat ads that would look at home and on any website, but Facebook says it's also exploring new ad formats that are unique to VR. Now all I'm thinking is freaking Futurama, where ads pop up in Fry's dream and just you can't escape it. It's like, oh god,
this is some dystopian shit though. Like,
having, really is
having ads beam directly into your VR headset. That's a step too far for me.
I know, like, some of the sports games started doing ads, but yeah, just imagine playing a console game all of a sudden. We interrupt your gameplay for Taco Bell or something.
Yeah.
Well, as Bobby Balinga in our chat says, if it's Danimals ads, that's different.
Well, yes, yeah, obviously.
That's
Morks
fine.
Just said the same thing.
Be like, ah, Bongo, you cheeky monkey, get out of here. I'll drink your nightmare yogurt later. yeah, I just... What is Facebook thinking? Like, any reasonable person in the room should be like, yes, hi, me, people hate this. Yeah. No, objectively,
they don't
nobody
care. The
this.
Money talks.
Rob Arman X made a great point in the chat, though. GVG ads win. So, you know, if we're having GVG ads being to people in VR, maybe it's okay. There I'm kidding. Go. Of course, that wouldn't be okay.
Subscribe to GVG or this ad will not stop and your eyes will burn.
Right. Or as you know, Unutterkami says,
ad will
Mega
explode.
Ads, Mega Man's okay. Yeah.
The headset.
Isn't there a VR game called Don't Stop Talking or You Explode or something like that? Like, have an ad there coming up as you're trying to defuse the bomb. Like, oh, crap. And
we've detected your heart rate is elevated. Would you like to learn more about Lunesta? I don't know what Lunesta is for. It's probably herpes or something. But anyway.
Oh, God.
See, you're dehydrated. Get a Coke.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. You're dehydrated. Get a Coke. Oh, man. All right. Before we move on, Shellshock Prime with a $2 super chat says, GVG Bean Boozled Challenge win. Interesting you should mention that. You know, as you know, we founded GVG like over the holidays in 2020. And I did exactly that. I have footage of me doing it with my kids. We bought those. We thought it would be funny. I somehow pulled every nasty one. It was disgusting.
Yeah. I've never heard of this.
Vomit. It's like those Harry Potter any flavor beans.
Oh, God.
And so it's like good normal jelly beans mixed in with utterly nasty ones.
I didn't know they were making them now.
Yeah, they still make them. They got like earwax flavor, barf flavor.
I've tried the Birdie Bot versions. They're so gross, man.
They're really gross. Yeah. they taste like you would imagine, which is terrible. I mean, the worst part is like there are things that you're intimately familiar with, right? Like I've never eaten dirt, but we've all barfed at some point in our lives. So you kind of know what that tastes like. And you bite a barf jelly bean and you're like, oh God, that is spot on. Oh God, it's spot on. Stop.
I'm good on that.
I'll pass.
I would do it. I'm not gonna lie. I love you guys. I would totally do it.
Oh no. I mean, you guys would do it on stream for that, but not on my own.
Do it for the content.
Oh yeah.
I wouldn't do it just for myself, but I would do it for content for the GVG
audience.
That would be fun.
I am looking forward to visiting
the content's
Ash.
Always right.
And going to a Hal and Ray's and eating some like gut-wrenchingly hot chicken. So,
it's happening. It's happening next month, in fact.
Actually, I have to move that, but we'll see.
Oh no! Well, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. We'll see, but probably in August around my birthday. Because what better way to celebrate my birth than by potentially dying? Anyway,
that feels fitting.
Yeah. Bongo Lover with a Canadian $2 super chat says, Steve, I'm waiting for that bongo doll. Me too, my friend. I still need to. I wanted to try to find one that captured the likeness of modern day Bongo, the icon that he is. But it turns out all you can find is like a chewed up looking monkey. It's really off-putting. But anyway, yeah. Black Ninja with a $2 super chat says, no crap, the toothpaste jelly bean is good AF.
Okay.
All right.
Does it taste like mint?
Fair enough.
Each their own. I think it tastes pretty nasty. Like, I think it tastes like eating toothpaste. But, I mean, it's definitely sure. among those the best one. Because, you know, it doesn't taste like barf.
Anyway. Right.
Something.
All right. This story I'm really hyped to talk about. So I'm just going to throw this up on screen. No segue. We're just doing it live. And this comes from Eurogamer. And this is Nintendo's Yoshio Sakamoto, who, if you don't know, is the man behind Metroid. And obviously, Metroid is the game du jour these days. No one can stop talking about it for good reason. Dread looks amazing. And Dread is Dread.
It's Dread.
Yeah. It's unbelievable that we live in a timeline where Metroid 5 and Dread are the same thing, and we're getting them in less than 90 days.
And like, they exist.
After over 15 years. And after
I know, right?
Written it off. That's just what a this cool is, story. I'm never
this is like
over
Nintendo's
that.
Mega Man Legends 3 moment, is what
it
this
kind
is.
Of is.
Yeah, it totally is.
And I am thrilled by that. But Yoshio Sakamoto allayed some of my personal fears in this statement given to Eurogamer. Basically, he says, what I can say up front is that Samus's adventure will continue. How will it continue? Well, first things first, I believe that if and when you clear Dread, you will have a clear idea. Beyond that, we will continue to work hard so we can meet expectations and keep surprising you guys with exciting gameplay experiences. In regards to my plans, I hope to take on new challenges and really feel a sense of relief in having achieved this much. So, Samus is going nowhere. I mean, we all kind of expected that.
Yeah, that's
right.
But
I mean... That's the end of the arc, you know, was surprising because I felt with Fusion, they found a way to just keep calling it Metroid, even if they don't have any Metroids in it, because Samus is part Metroid now.
Right.
So,
true.
There you go. Problem solved.
And maybe that'll continue to be how they derive the name Metroid. It'll still be Samus after the events of all five games thus far. And it'll still be, you know, who she is with everything that has happened to her, having part Metroid DNA. But perhaps that DNA is, you know, she uses that, utilizes that to fight some other galactic threat going forward, right? And that's where the Metroid name comes. Who knows?
It's a really good question. Do they keep the Metroid name even? I feel like you do because the brand recognition is strong.
Either you that or you... which is more brand... Mm-hmm. Which has bigger brand recognition? I think that's the big kind of the focus is, do you keep calling it Metroid or do you switch the name focus to Samus?
See, that's a good question because I feel like a lot of folks don't know necessarily Metroid, but because of Smash, know Samus.
They know Samus, exactly.
Right. I mean, then again, there's a, why doesn't Metroid crawl?
True.
There is that too. And we're still going to have, you know, Metroid Prime 4 coming out sometime long after Dread does, which is the weirdest thing to even say, that sentence. But it's still going to be called Metroid Prime 4. So I don't know if they want to diverge their brand like that necessarily.
Yeah,
I think the idea of them continuing 2D and 3D Metroids from this point is a really exciting idea because both have their place.
They have that's a great point. Like, how cool is that? That is it that, you know, after so many years where Metroid fans basically got scraps, if anything, other than Samus Returns.
Oh my god!
Not only are we getting Metroid Dread resurrected after 15 years, but Sakamoto's already talking about, you know,
another
plans for Metroid 6.
Sequels. Yeah.
Seriously.
How cool is it to be a Metroid fan right now after so many years of nothing? I love it.
I have been
Capcom, take notes.
I've been starving for 2D Metroid, man.
Yeah.
It's like Samus Returns came out. You know, I did didn't do that well because the 3DS was on its way out already, but I was really hoping 2D Metroid would make a comeback, and here it is. So hyped.
Yeah, this is probably the biggest surprise I think I've ever seen from Nintendo. I can't think of a time where they did something so unexpected before. It's wild.
In a good way.
I should say that.
Yeah.
Nintendo has definitely done some surprisingly bad things, but
seems like it's working because it is topping this Amazon pre-order charts. So
god damn it,
right,
this is a good sign.
Definitely a good sign.
I just want my damn collector's edition Wario 64. You're the person I'm blaming now.
I just had to go on Amazon Japan and do it that way.
I tried.
I was not taking my chances.
I was dumb and I waited too long, and Amazon Japan is now just ruled by scalpers selling it for like $300.
Oh my dang.
Man, yeah. I haven't gotten mine yet either. I'll figure it out. You know,
I was more focused on the Amiibo, but it's fine.
I'm gonna hit up our friends at Nintendo and be like, look, I know you don't give us codes until the day it comes out, but could you just send a physical one, like a few of them, like five? I don't care. I know you have them somewhere. If you can give Roger's base a Letterman jacket, you could just send me one copy of Metroid, please. Anyway, yeah, I am super hyped for this. I love the fact that we know that Samus Aran, like, her story doesn't end. Because there was some, you know, concern based on the verbiage that Sakamoto gave in a previous interview with IGN that, you know, oh, the story is ending. And people were like, wait, does that mean Samus is going away? Because, I mean, she has a legacy. She's been around as long as Mario and Link. And it would just be wild to see one of Nintendo's core characters just be sunset. So I'm glad to see that that's not the case.
Especially that one.
Yeah.
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, the thing I'm most hyped for is that this means that, you know, this is almost like Metroid Dread is almost to Metroid as Ultimate is to Smash, in that we know that the series will continue, but the next game is going to have to, in some way, be dramatically different from what we're used to.
Right.
If it picks up to some degree. From 5, that's the thing.
Yeah,
if it's,
true.
If it takes place before 5, like Prime 4, not really.
That's right. True.
Yeah,
I hope they continue the lineage forward, like timeline forward is what I should say.
And yeah, speaking to that point, we have a super chat from ESAXGame08X for $4.99, making the great point, saying, finally, YouTube name chain setting worked, and I believe Metroid in Chozo language means Ultimate Warrior, which describes Samus pretty well, which, there's your answer in terms of how they keep using the Metroid name. It doesn't have to be the creature. It can be, you know, it can be what it means as for Samus.
I'm never going to be able to unsee Samus as the Ultimate Warrior now, though.
No, I immediately get the wrestler. So
yeah, I mean, that's true.
Is.
Oh, God, now I just imagine that.
Like, only one that can fight the ex-parasites now.
Right.
So there you go.
True.
And thank you, ESAX, by the way. Thank you for your donation and for that great point.
Nice. Also, go ahead, please.
I was just going to say, it was such a meme among the Metroid community that we never get a game after Fusion. Like, they're just going to keep going backwards and backwards. Mm. So they don't have to tell us what happens next. But I'm glad they finally are. Holy crap. Like, I still can't believe it.
True.
Story about baby Samus. Baby Ridley.
Let's see. How's the pie with a $9.99 super chat? Thank you so much. Says, donating to Steve Travel Fund. How much to get Derek out there? Well, you know, it's more an issue of just finding time. Well, between me and Derek, we have like a baseball team worth of kids.
Yeah, that's the hard part, I think.
So it's really, it's less of that and more just making sure that our families at home are well taken care of. I have plans to go see Ash. At this point, it's looking like mid-August because that's around my birthday. I usually plan a trip every year around that time. And then I will get drunk and make videos. That's what a 30-something-year-old does on his birthday.
Exactly. And by the way, not only thank you for the donation, House of the Pie, but also I love that name. Spider-Man 3 is unironically one of my favorite movies ever to watch.
I think you said that the last time you donated.
Yeah, I probably did, actually. As I said it, it kind of came to me like deja vu. So I'm saying it again. Spider-Man 3 is awesome, and your name is awesome, House of the Pie.
Nice. Nio, with a $1.99 super chat, says, people act like Samus Returns never happened. I think it's
because it came out on the 3DS. It was good. It got people's attention and it gave hope for the hardcore fans. But because it was so late in the 3DS life cycle, it was one of those things like, is this enough? Is this enough? Yeah. We're not sure. And of course, there's the constant debate among Metroid fans between that and another Metroid 2 remake.
Yeah, so. I think, though, you know, Samus Returns, while it was good, it didn't, you know, move the lore of the series forward. And I know as a fan, it left me wanting like a brand new entry.
Kind of did, though. It did add some. It was enough teases like, are they continuing after this? Or are they just going to Fusion and continuing those teases? That was the debate up to that point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, It seems like we're getting a payoff in the Metroid Dread trailer. We saw the Chozo Warrior.
Yeah.
It seems it was like the same one from Samus Returns, so.
I'm super excited to see where the series goes from here. Dread is probably my most anticipated game this year now, just because
I'm so excited.
Mm-hmm. We have a challenger for Game of the Year with Ratchet and Clank.
Yep, agreed. Right. It's going to be a tough year. Right. And it went from being no contest to a very interesting year. Moving forward with our Super Chats, Emmanuel Rincon with a $5 Super Chat says, secured the special edition for Dread. Dying to get the amiibos. You guys are awesome. Love the content and have been following since your GX days. Well, thank you. Congrats. I'm super jealous. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Same. I still have it in mine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I pre-ordered the amiibo and the special edition set on Amazon Japan. So
nice.
I'm good.
Nice. Well done, amiibo. Sir.
Very nice.
Yeah, I'm hoping, but I'm not going to be too upset because honestly, at the end of the day, I just want to play the game. So if I have to, I'll just get it digital. But Mwape Mulenga with a $5 super chat says, I want Metroid Dread to end with Samus humming the fusion ending credit song. That would be cool.
That would be nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think she'll hum, but who knows? I mean, we'll see.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Metroid music, I found this out the other day and I didn't know this. It's the coolest thing. The beepy sounds that the Emmy make they're actually the same sounds as the Metroid 2 cavern theme.
Oh, wow.
Like maybe save room theme. That's, and you, Derek, you probably already knew that, but it's really cool. I did not. Cool.
I'm not picking up on that kind of thing. I've not had a chance to really look over Metroid stuff, though. Right. The humming at the end and just thinking about Samus and all that made me think of Samus singing Black Sheep, like since, you know.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
All right.
With so, Brie Larson,
More Metroid to come. Jared Helder with a Canadian $5 super chat says, Metroid Prime 4 was announced 4 years ago while Metroid Dread is being released a few months later. Is this a sign of Nintendo's change in approach? I don't think so.
This is common for Nintendo to announce something and all of a sudden it's coming out in 3 or 4 months. We've seen this happen many times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have to remember that Metroid Prime 4 is kind of a exception rather than the rule. Nintendo very publicly announced that they were rebooting development on it, which is way out of the norm for them. I think we would probably had Bandai Namco satisfied Nintendo's expectations for Prime 4, it would probably be coming out already be out or would be coming out this year, I feel.
I agree.
But yeah, I feel like we're 2 years off at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Peter S. with a $2 super chat says, bigger surprise, Ninty revives Dread or Bayo 2? I'm going to assume you meant Bayo 3, but I'm going to say Dread.
Right. Dread, easily.
It's like that Nintendo saved 100%. Bayonetta.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's the idea.
And it's the context is a bit different. We have no reason to believe that Bayo 3 isn't still coming. Was it announced too early? Probably. Yeah, I would say it was. But there's no reason to think it's not happening. For it to equal Dread, like Bayo 3 would have to be not heard of for like the next 15 or 10 years and then get announced again.
I don't think they're talking Bayo 3. I think they're talking Bayo 2 and the fact that we never thought we'd get a sequel. And of all things, we got a sequel from Nintendo.
Yeah.
That is... kind of, those are kind of equal because
I'd
one, you have something
Dread.
That was, it was
it
seemingly canceled, big, but it's yeah. close.
Yeah,
it's that's fair.
For
you know, Dread had been rumored for such a long time, we just never thought we'd ever get it. And I was hoping for Metroid 5 this year from E3, but I didn't think it was actually going to happen. That was a pipe dream.
Yeah, yeah. Right? I feel like Bayonetta 2. Let me display my age here for a moment, but I feel like Bayonetta 2 for me is the modern day equivalent of Mortal Kombat 2 having blood on the SNES. I remember being like, whoa, what the hell? Like Nintendo allows gore in their games now? What? And being really surprised. It was definitely a move I didn't expect, a very left field thing to do. But I would still give it to Dread just because Nintendo denied the existence of Dread, then confirmed it. Then canceled it, you know, and then brought it back and made it the canonical sequel to the main storyline that has been ignored for, over a decade. So
19 years.
Yeah, it's wild. To me, it's just it's closer to Nintendo's Final Fantasy VII Remake moment or Mega Man Legends 3 or Shenmue 3, you know, taking something that has long been ignored and just bringing it back out of nowhere.
It's funny you bring up Shenmue 3 because it's a similar thing where apparently they kept the same story concept from 15 years ago all the way to now. That's wild in itself.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And you brought up Legends 3, like Mega Man Legends 3. We already actually technically had that moment with Mega Man Legends 3 where they did re-announce it. And we're like, oh my God, this is actually happening. And then they fucking took it away from us again. So if they like, actually
we're gonna bring it back
again.
Wait, the concept's like there.
There was a demo ready to go. God, man, I can't believe that we didn't get that demo. That stings more than anything, because you know that demo is done somewhere.
That game was a system seller for the 3DS for me. I was, like, getting ready to buy a 3DS
when it
was announced. But either way.
God, Trigger has to be so bored up there on the moon by now. Good Lord, get him off the moon!
Well, at least he has a donut cafe or whatever it was in RE3.
There you go.
Right.
All right. So, Bongo Lover, real quick, with a Canadian $2 super chat, says Sonic's cool monkey rival has joined EP Squad.
Hey,
nice. Bongo Lover, welcome to the EP Squad. Congratulations!
Just in time, by the way, too, because we have our first EP community stream of the month tomorrow. We're going to be playing Fall Guys and Use Your Words. So perfect timing.
Damn right. All right. Well, Derek, this is like your month, my friend. I mean, this next story is for you. And this comes from to us courtesy of Nibel on Twitter, you know, good friend of the channel, although he hasn't been on here yet. We'll have to fix that someday. Basically, the Castlevania Advance Collection has been raided in Australia. The name seemingly implying that the games behind Derek are going to be re-released.
Yeah, I don't have a physical version of Circle of the Moon, but yeah. that said, this is a good sign. I would love if the DS games were included with it as well, because generally those three are stronger than these three, but you're still in for some amazing high quality games with Circle of the Moon, Harmony of Dissonance, and especially Aria of Sorrow. Aria of Sorrow is up there as one of the best Castlevania Aria games in general.
I would argue maybe that Harmony of Dissonance is just okay.
Oh, I mean, that's the thing. They were figuring things out with both Circle of the Moon and Harmony of Dissonance. Like, Circle of the Moon was one of them doing their own thing with a different team, and that's why it's kind of non-canon to the whole thing. But in Harmony of Dissonance was like, okay, kind of correcting, trying to figure out. I have a soft spot for it because it was my first GBA Castlevania, so I appreciate it. But I understand that Aria of Sorrow is better. Great story. Great end to it. And
That's the one.
Good stuff. But the hope is, if we're getting this advanced collection, maybe we'll get the DS collection, because on the whole, there's not a whole lot that is required of the DS to shift the DS games, because Dawn of Sorrow is the one to use it most, and there's a mode even within Dawn of Sorrow using Julius where you don't have to use the seals. So just bring that over and boom, you're all set. You're set. And getting rid of the seals will make it better anyway, so...
I'll be interested to see how this plays out. I know that my brother, he's much more of a Castlevania fan than I am. I'm like the bandwagon fan that played Symphony of the Night, and I'm like, I love Castlevania, and then never played anything else.
Well, he's play like those, so that's good. That's more along your line.
Yeah. He mentioned that to me, but he particularly is fond of the DS games. I remember very specific. I worked at GameStop at the time, and he always made sure that I, you know, brought those home for him when they came out. So I think that's the most hours he ever logged on his DS was playing those games, and then he just put the damn thing away.
All three of them are great, to be honest. Like, even Portrait of Ruin, the weakest one, is still a great game.
I would put Portrait of Ruin ahead of Dawn of Sorrow, I'll be honest.
I've seen that take
better
too.
Art
yeah,
better
I've
story seen. Really cool. They found a way to really change up the locations. Some of the music in there is fantastic. It is up there.
I love that song.
Yeah, the way they answer why the Belmont, like after Richter, the Belmonts don't really show up a lot is amazing, and I didn't realize that until I did my Castlevania playthrough. But the other thing is, Order of Ecclesia, in my opinion, is the best Castlevania of the entire series.
Oh wow!
Just that's the best one. Wow. So getting that ported and off the DS, great.
Yeah. Nice. For me, I love this just because I like I'm a Castlevania fan. I do love the series, but I'm more of the Egavania style. Like, I'm not into Classicvania as much. I played the classics, but I haven't really finished them as much. Whereas everything from Symphony of the Night forward, I've really enjoyed, except for the 3D games. So for me, this is like collecting the ones I specifically really love. And hopefully the DS ones as well, because those are my favorites, really.
I think but just to throw it out there for people interested in Castlevania, the initial collection is like on sale right now. So like, I think it's like super cheap, like $5-$10.
So. Yeah, and there's a collection.
I did not give a spoiler. I said no spoilers.
Too. Yep. Limited Run Games is having a collector's edition, which looks pretty dope. I've seen it unboxed. I mean, Castlevania is not really, you know, early Castlevania is not my jam, but I saw that and I was like, damn, that looks really cool.
Yeah, Limited Run goes all out with their collector's editions. I just got the Blaster Master Zero one recently. God, nice. It's so good.
Oh, man.
Nice. That's coming out next month. Blaster Master Zero 3. I'm so
excited.
I've got the Limited Run No More Heroes 1 and 2 collection coming in the next couple of days, actually. They said it should ship out like in 3 days. Anyway, we are running low on time, so I'm going to boot us over to this next story. This sucks. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Power to the players, I guess. GameStop has decided that if you want to get your hands on a PS5, the best way to do it is to subscribe to their pro membership to get early access to pre-orders.
Oh, that's so fucked, man.
This is... I mean, they're so abundant now. It's easy to get a PS5, didn't you know? I am a pro member.
I mean, in one hand, it is a smart business move.
It is.
Yeah.
It is a brilliant business move. Well, on the other hand, this is the key to just screwing over your customers or just customers in general.
And this is just like reason number 8,562.
I know, right?
Do not shop at GameStop. If I can, whenever I can help it, I stay far clear of GameStops.
And they're still just doing the bundles.
Yeah, so that's the thing,
the bundles. Good Lord.
Like $700-$800 bundles for the console. They're like, but you got like someone and three controllers you don't want. And a copy of Madden 22.
Yeah,
the bundle looks like they're going through now is Ratchet and Clank, Spider-Man, Grid Stuff, and then Destruction All-Stars, which...
Man, that game was free for like 4 months.
Yeah, every bundle has Destruction All-Stars. That's how much they're trying to get rid of stock.
Wow.
Content.
So, some people are bringing up the fact that it has helped deter bots, and that's true. We can't look the other way. It's helped deter bots and scalpers,
but there is that aspect.
It just seems so scummy.
It really does. It's hard to defend.
And to be fair, you know, this isn't all GameStop. Some of the blame does deserve to be laid at Sony's feet for just not making these things more available for people. Although I do understand there are manufacturing practical limits,
chip shortages.
Like I get that, but man, some of, you know, Sony could be making these things more available too, presumably.
Yeah, exactly. I hope that Sony is able to ramp up production on these, and that this whole shortage can just end soon. I mean, it's ridiculous right now. If you want to build a new gaming PC, if you want a new console, you're either going to have to you need a ridiculous amount of luck. I have not seen an Xbox Series X or a PlayStation 5 on shelves in a store since they came out
at all.
And they're selling online within seconds. I mean, I'm annoyed by the Metroid thing, but God, I can't imagine not having access to a console, like just not being able to get it. That would drive me crazy. I saw one of our patrons.
Yeah, I was ready to give up at a certain point, and I know a lot of people in our audience know how that goes. It sucks, especially when I'm sure I'd be going insane if I did not have a PS5 and everybody's extolling the virtues of Ratchet and Clank and I can't play it.
It's getting so tiring with the scalper situation. You can't buy anything anymore without having to worry about, okay, it goes up at this time. I better be there right on the dot or it's gone in a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yep, sucks, exactly. I hope that something happens. I'm not going to hold my breath, though, unfortunately. It would be nice if everybody that wants a PS5 could get one. But, I mean, I wish there was a way to mitigate sales from bots that didn't include forcing people to pay more money. That seems like a really shitty way to do it. Like, I mean, I know that, you know, other YouTubers have created systems that supposedly are unbeatable by bots and stuff like that, but I mean, there's not enough stock to go around to begin with. Anyway, I do. The last thing I want to do is end this show on a sad note. So I'm going to put something on the screen that makes me happy.
Yeah, I saw this. I'm like, I got to show this to Steve.
Hell yeah. And I'm so glad you did. This comes from the Yakuza guy on Twitter. And basically in Lost Judgment, Yagami gets a Sega Master System for his detective agency. And you can play retro-ass Sega games. The one pictured on the screen right now, for those of you that don't know, is Alex Kidd. It's one of the very first video games I ever played. And so just knowing that that's going to be in Lost Judgment makes me even more hype for this game that I was already going to play anyway.
Same.
I did, however, spot something very interesting in the trailer. And that is... that I watched the trailer and they specifically refer to the console as the Sega Master System. What's interesting about that is that it did not release in Japan initially as the Sega Master System. It released as the Sega Mark III, and it was white. It had a completely different design. I have a Mark III in my garage.
Nice.
Because I'm old. but I did grow up with the, you know, obviously the North American Sega Master System that... hopefully folks in our audience know, but it is interesting to me because as far as I'm aware, the Sega Master System only released as such in Japan as like a variant at the very end of the console's lifespan just to get unsold hardware moved. And it stripped out the FM chip, which the Japanese console is known for, and brought it in line with the inferior American audio experience. But it delighted me to see this. This was just so fucking cool. Like it has the tacky like 80s American design with like it's all black and has like a grid pattern in burgundy for some reason on the front.
Yeah.
It is objectively one of the ugliest consoles ever made. But I have a strong affinity for it because it's my first console. And, you know, I remember turning it on and hearing the little Sega jingle that would play every time you started the console for some reason.
Just like the idea of like, you know, they've had arcades be a thing in these Yakuza games for a while now. And, you know, now the arcade games are kind of dying. It's cool that they're bringing in their old consoles and Master System is, an obvious choice. Genesis, of course, will be there eventually. Dreamcast would be cool.
Oh, man.
Saturn.
Imagine getting a Saturn, be able to play Knights or Panzer Dragoon in Yakuza or whatever.
Yeah.
That'd be wild.
It would be really nice. It is interesting because Judgment takes place in like the modern day era. So they could have gone with a newer console, but I'm just happy to see the Master System get some love. You know, it's just a nice little bonus for old folks like me that grew up with this thing. That is a nice little way to end the show for me. Thank you, Derek. I appreciate you rounding that up at the very end.
Yeah. I'm really hyped for Lost Judgment.
Yeah, man, it looks so good. I cannot wait to see where the story goes from here. But I feel like I need to finish Like a Dragon before because you go to Yokohama and Lost Judgment.
Right now
I still need to get back to that after finishing Rift Apart.
I'm playing through all the Yakuza games right now, like 1 through 6 and then 7. And I also beat Judgment. And I said before, I'm a big Ace Attorney fan, and it kind of combined those elements with Yakuza, which is already amazing. Just makes an awesome combination. I can't wait to play Lost Judgment.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that would be cool. For you, Narukami, asking in our chat, Lost Judgment will have a dub. Judgment did as well. They got a wonderfully talented group of English voice actors to do it, and it's got dual audio, yeah. Anyway, that wraps up all the news for today. But before we sign off, my friend, where can we find you? I'm tired.
Shad, let us know where our amazing audience can find you, man.
And all right.
Mega Man and platformer coverage.
Find me on YouTube at JadarokZX. I do Mega Man news and Mega Man gameplay. I also cover Inti Creates games like Blaster Master Zero we mentioned earlier. Ooh. Hype! And you can also find me on Twitter at ShadowRockX. I couldn't use ZX because someone took that handle already.
We know that too well. GVG official.
Right. But thanks for having me, guys. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. Would love to have you back when some real Mega Man news actually drops.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, next time there's a Mega Man announcement, we got to have you on. But yeah, thank you so much. If you're not subscribed to Shadow Rock, please go do that. It would mean the world, yes, not just to him, but to us as well.
And Steve, before you get to the outro really quick, I just want to hype up something regarding our next episode on Monday. Yes. Two things, actually. Three things. First of all, it's episode 100. How is it already?
Episode.
It'll be episode 100 on Monday. That's incredible. And this is just a serendipitous occasion, but it turns out that our very good friend Greg Miller of Kind of Funny is joining us for episode 100 on Monday, which is awesome. So Greg is amazing. He's hilarious. Great guy. Come join us for that. He's going to be an amazing guest. I know it. Also, our incredibly generous GVG community member, Rob Arman X, has actually seen fit for the occasion to buy two codes for Mario and Rabbids and the season pass, two codes each. To give away to two GVG community members on the show. So we're going to be doing something with the live audience chat where we give away two codes for Mario and Rabbids and the season pass in the live audience chat. And Steve, I know you can tell our amazing audience where they can get into this live audience goodness via our Patreon. But I wanted to go ahead and hype that up. So look forward to that. And thank you, Rob Arman X.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you. I did not know that. So that's amazing.
Yeah, neither.
Come back Monday for episode 100. Greg Miller, free games. I mean, what more could you want?
Exactly.
Anyway, like I said, that brings us to the end of today's news. But before we sign off, we have to give an extra special thank you to our friends at the producer tier and above for helping to make this show happen. We could not do this without you guys. Y'all's support means the world to us. It is... This ain't an easy thing to do for 100 episodes, or 99 in this case.
It's not.
But your guys' support has made that possible. There are days where I feel like I can't possibly do this, and then I remember all y'all are waiting for us. We have to give an extra special thank you, of course, and as always, to our patrons at the executive producer tier and above. And those fine folks are Jared Edinger, Brandon Bovia, Rob Arman X, Idiono Ben, Dan and Twistle, Dennis J, Z Patty, Hyrule Hermit, Sky Blue Flames, Adam O'Sullivan, It's ATM, Octopuppet, Richard Herrera, Michael Phone, Aiko Carroll, The D-Pad, Vesmio, Waffle King, Get Better Soon Waffle King, Kitty Kong Facts,
absolutely,
Angel Martinez, Vedran Hotik, 112, John, Joshua Hunter, Evernight Studio, Benny Yao, Emerald, Azran 127, Kenrule 09, Pagrema, Jake Pelka, Geller, Shiny Turkey, Joseph Rutkin, Titus Malvolio, Charlie Bird, Geeky Griffin, Lucky Wonderfish, Top Dog 23100, Young Ben Kenobi, Doug Shomix, Andrew Medeiros, Orem M, Sakuragi, Becca, Rox the Cat, Fizzywig Hoyd, Critmonger, The Legend of Groose, Eddie B, Kayed, Kit Fisto, West Egg, Dineth, Coda, Michael McCaw, Matthew Wong, Goron Amber, Straightlace, Hooby, Wolf X Blake, Moon Macarons, Ascaron 809, Kane, Captain Finlandia, 60 Minutes and 60 Seconds, Christopher Masterson, Spicy Pandaughter, The Game Orb, Dano the Artist, Ravelox, Synchro Lord, Brainchild, My Mom, Hi Mom, Kotar Peck, Scuff 196, Skull Kid Tiger, AJB Cool, Blizzica, Jason Uloa, Jaden Buck, Phantom Project, Darik, Jeff Ed, Ray Clausen Jr., Nathan the Voice Actor, Mega Conrad, Hulkamaniac, Chibi J, and finally, our newest executive producer, thank you so much for joining, the Danimals Monkey himself, Bongo Lover. That is a long list, and we will always be happy to read it. But you too can become a patron over at patreon.com/GVGaming, where for as little as $5 a month, you can join our live audience tier and check out our patron exclusive post show, which we're headed to in just a moment. But if you can support us anyway, we would appreciate it. A like and a subscribe helps the channel out a ton. We appreciate you no matter what. Just thanks for being here. Thanks for being you. And we will see you, well, if you're a patron, in just a few minutes. Otherwise, we'll see you Monday for episode 100 with Greg Miller. And if you're listening on podcast services around the world, well, we're already done for the night, but we appreciate you listening. Until next time, everybody, good night and good vibes.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Guys. Rock on.
Rock on.
Yeah.